welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
For the sermon, that victory belongs. In other words, it says, stay. You get it. It'll come together. Let me acknowledge two people, actually three if I could, and we'll get right to the word. We want to thank, we've got Brother Alfred Outlaw worshiping with us. Amen. Amen. It's always a privilege to welcome somebody home. Amen. Amen. And also have my good friend, the Reverend Dow Fitterman, worshiping. Amen. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Truly, he is one of my accountability partners. In other words, everybody ought to be accountable to somebody. And the Bible talks about how iron sharpens iron. So I am blessed to have this gentleman in my life. Lastly, I've got to thank the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. Really, your words of encouragement, you would never know what it means. For example, the brothers sent out a group text to say, pray for me, things like that. I just thank the church, and I'm so blessed to be able to serve here. Amen? Amen. Amen. I don't want to hold you too long. Matter of fact, let me share this with you. I heard a preacher once say, I'm not going to preach too long, but I'm only going to preach till I'm finished. Amen. So if you turn with me to Psalm 121, and I want to look at just two verses, and I asked if you would just keep your Bible open, because it's the word of God that does the preaching. If you would, keep your Bible open. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I've adopted a custom that was shared with us a long time ago about spending the summer with the psalmist. And I tell you, it's truly been a blessing to spend the summer with the psalmist. So we're at Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Now, if you have a Bible that has headings before your psalm begins, you may see this heading, the assurance of God's protection. But you should definitely see this heading, a song of ascent. Amen? And then it reads as follows, verse 1. And I'm reading the New Revised Standard Version. Your words should be very similar. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. For the next 20 minutes or so, I want to talk from the topic, help for the journey. Because we already know victory is ours. But we still need help for the journey. If I could state it another way, based on your condition this morning, I need help. I need help. Let us pray. Father, I need you. I need you to walk with me. God, I need you to talk with me. Lord, I need you to hold my hand. God, use me to be your mouthpiece. God, bless your people. And Lord, get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I like the Olympics. I particularly love the Summer Olympics. And I like to call to your attention one particular Summer Olympics. It was the 1992 Summer Olympics that was in Barcelona, Spain. No, I'm not going to talk about the Dream Team. But there was a runner, and his name was Derek Redmond. And I could see it like yesterday. Derek Redmond was stretching, getting ready for his race. And he had his number. He wore the number 749. I'll never forget it. And Derek Redmond was favored to win the gold medal in the 400-meter event. So here we are in Olympic Stadium in Barcelona, Spain, and they get ready for the race. As the race begins, somewhere around 150 meters into the race, Derek pulls a hamstring muscle. Now, I don't know if you've ever pulled a hamstring muscle, but it's very painful. Derek fell to the ground, but he was determined to get up and finish the race. So Derek began to hop on one leg. Then all of a sudden, a man breaks through the crowd, breaks through security on his way to the track. This man was his father. And his father said to Derek, "I'm going to help you, and we're going to finish this race together." So the father, holding the son, provided the son with the help that he needed to finish the race shortly before they got to the finish line. The father let the son go and allowed Derek to finish the race by himself. You see, our God works like that. Yeah. For this Christian race is often called the journey of life. And in this journey, like Derek Redmond, we are favored to win. In fact, we just sang it. Victory is ours. But somewhere during the journey of life, all of us, at one time or another, has experienced a painful situation, an unexpected circumstance like Derek Redmond, where somewhere we're poor and we're in need of help on this journey called life. If you don't know it now, trouble will come on this journey. Am I right about it? And when trouble comes, and we find ourselves in need of help, just as Derek Redmond's father came, our Heavenly Father will come and see about us. I know he will. Yes, he will. We ought to give our Heavenly Father some praise for the journey help he's already provided on our journey. This journey called life. It's very similar to a roller coaster ride. One minute you're cruising along, and before you know it, you're on a downward. Down so fast, you even doubt if you're going to make it. But there are times that we need help. Help, it could be either help with the kids, help with the bills, or just simply making the decisions that life called for. One thing each and every one of us from the pulpit to the door has in common today is that we all stand in need of help. I don't know if there's anybody here that is standing in the need of God's help this morning. You ought to tell your neighbor, "I need God's help." In this psalm, Psalm 121. The psalmist teaches us about God's help for the journey. And the psalmist reassures us that God's help is always, always available. First, let me share with you the historical aspect of Psalm 21. And I hope you didn't close your Bible. See, this psalm is known as a psalm of ascent. For you should see these words in the heading. For the word ascent is a reference to ascending or going up, for they would go up to Jerusalem for the festivals that were held there. For Psalms 120 to Psalm 134, all have the heading a psalm of ascent. For this group of psalms was also known as a pilgrim psalm. Truth be told, all of us are sojourners. We're simply just passing through. And for a song of ascent, it was a series of songs that they sung on their pilgrim journey. You see, Psalm 121 was a psalm that was sung by travelers on their journey to Jerusalem. For the route that they were traveling was filled with robbers and thieves. They knew that the route they were traveling required them to pass through some dangerous places. This psalmist, he paints a picture of them experiencing real anxiety, and they're seeking real strength to face the real danger for the journey that is ahead. Now, you may be saying, what does the sermon have to do with me? I just want to raise the question. What is the real anxiety in your life this morning? What is the situation that you need real strength for the journey? I just want to challenge you today to speak to whatever it is that you need and talk to the situation and tell it that my help is in the name of the Lord, the one that made heaven and earth. Yeah. Can I pause for a minute, parenthetically, and rest on the word real? Talking about real. I can hear God say, will the real church please stand up? God wants just a few real Christians, not Democrat or Republican, but a real Christian. I don't know about you, but the events of this past week surely had most of us shaking our head and saying, I just can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe what I'm hearing from the president and his administration. I'm not sure if you saw the pictures of children in cages, or if you heard the painful video of little kids crying for their parents. No doubt it had to touch your heart. Separating children from their parents is bad. But to put children of all ages in cages is downright deplorable. But then, to justify it, that is the law. Here's what I really want to get to. As African Americans, this should serve as a wake-up call. For 400 years, during slavery in America, they put us in cages. They separated us from our families. Listen. They say they want to make America great again. But let me ask you, when was America great? It was great when they had free labor. There are those to stand up. We got to raise our voices. We got it. Everybody in here got to be a registered voter. They're telling you what they want to do. My. We got it. On this journey called life. Praise God. Just as the psalmist said that they were facing real anxiety. They were seeking real strength for the journey ahead. Ah, we got to praise our God. We can't praise him enough. For God will provide us the help that we need on our journey. Amen. Amen. Let me keep it moving. Secondly, there's the literary aspect of Psalm 121. And I hope you didn't close your Bible. I want to first draw your attention to the punctuation that's in the text. For if you have a New King James Version, a New American Standard Version, a New Revised Standard Version, or the Revised Standard Version, or the New International Version, raise your hand for me. So, if you look at verse 1 of your text, verse 1 ends with a question mark. Am I right about it? Now, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help? Question mark. See that? Now, I must admit, I have read Psalm 121 for years and years, and I have never noticed the question mark at the end of the first verse. I need to tell you, that bothered me. I wrestled, because I had to find a reason why I never noticed the question mark at the end of verse number 1. Thank God for giving answers. There's a real good answer that I never noticed the question mark at the end of verse 1. For in the King James Version, raise your hand if you got a King James, amen. In the King James Version, there's not a question mark, but a period. Yeah. So, I, like many of you, for years, had only read the King James. In the King James, verse 1 reads as a statement. In more modern translations, it reads as a question mark. Now, as the resident theologian, if you would allow me just a minute or two to unpack that for you. You see, the more closer, accurate translations, when they look at the Hebrew language and they translate it into our English language, has changed verse 1 from a statement to a question. And the reason that they do that is, see, I want to speak as much English as I can. In other words, King James says, from whence cometh my help? Statement. But a more accurate translation is, whence cometh my help? Question. Now let me go a little further, just in English, because I don't want to lose nobody. Hang in there with me. In other words, when you take the verse and you put it in Hebrew, all of the words, you know, words paint a picture. So the picture that is painted is that of the psalmist being in a troubled and an anxious state because of the journey that they have to go through knowing that the road is filled with danger. You with me? So what the psalmist is saying, really, is where shall I look for help? Or the psalmist is saying, where can I get help? Hold on to that, because we're going to come back to it. So in truth, let me make it apply to you. In truth, there are times in our lives on this journey where our lives will be in chaos, that there will be change and transition, and questions will loom. Questions like, where can we find help? Or where can we find the help we need to get through this trauma? So, verse 1 of the text is a question. And I want you to hold on to that. I'm going to come back to that. Let me point out one more literary aspect of Psalm 121. And I hope you ain't close your Bible. Notice, if you will, in verse 1 and 2, the personal pronoun. Let me see if I can work it out for you. I, personal pronoun. Lift up my personal pronoun. To the hills from which cometh my personal pronoun. Help. Verse 2. My personal pronoun. You didn't miss it, did you? The psalmist is saying that I got to know for myself where my help come from. Yeah. I got to know that I sure enough know where my help come from. Yeah. Some think my help come from my friends. Some think my help come from my family. Some might even think my help come from a church. But I know where my help come from. Yeah, my help come from the Lord. Yeah, woo! See, this psalm, I love this psalm, because the psalm gives us the humanistic nature of mankind. In other words, sometimes some people could be so spiritual, they catching hell all the way around. But that God is good. Oh, this psalmist, he said, listen, I'm on this journey. I'm about to face some real dangers. There's a story I want to give you, but I don't know if it's appropriate, but to illustrate the real. Man, I'm going to give you just a snippet of it. I'm sort of at the end of the gang war era in Philadelphia. Sort of at the end. And by that I mean I wasn't what they would call, what they call them, the old heads. Yeah, I was at the other end of the spectrum, the young boys. But I was even younger than that. We had a group called the Pee-wees. I was just in trouble at an early age. And Reggie may relate. So, but I mean, I'm talking about location. So we would have to go. It's not a holy story. I'm just giving you a story to illustrate. So we used to have to go to the state store that was at 50th and Woodland. And if you knew anything about 50th and Woodland in those days, that was a dangerous journey trying to paint the picture. So on this dangerous journey, or the dangerous journeys that we will experience as saints, we're going to have questions. We may have a question, because it's in our humanistic nature to have questions. May have a question about, and you may ask God, how are you going to do it? You might wonder, in your humanistic nature, God, where are you going to do it? But there's one question that we don't need to ask. That question is real simple. Who is going to do it? You see, I know who is going to be my help on this journey. I'm starting to get happy when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me. Yeah, I can't help but say, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Ah. Lastly. And I'm getting ready to close. There's the theological aspect of the text. We dealt with the historical aspect. We looked at the literary aspect. Now we want to deal with the theological aspect of the text. Some would say that's the good news of the text. For the psalmist says, I hope you ain't close your Bible. The psalmist says in verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. For the hills represents the place where God dwells. Notice. The hills are not only the place where God dwells, but the psalmist says, we must look up. In other words, he says, I lift my eyes. For Reverend Piper read in the invocation, Psalm 24. It says, to lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Lord of hosts, he is. Yeah. I hope you didn't miss it. The psalmist is saying, when I lift up my eyes, I'm inviting in my help. Yeah. For the journey. For he says, when I lift up my eyes, it raises the question, what do I see? Yeah. For some are looking at a hill. Wow. But when I look, I see my help. Yeah. Woo. What I love about the psalmist is that he read the other psalms. For he knew something about help in God. For Psalm 46 says, our God is a very present help. Let me break it down. Present meaning he's always on time. Yeah. Let me hurry. In verse 1, the psalmist asks a question. We find the answer to the question asked in verse 1, in verse 2. See, in verse 2, the psalmist answers the question that the help I need, you need, we need is from the Lord. For the psalmist answers the question by saying, in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let me break it down for you. The psalmist gives us an answer, but that answer is what theologians would call a confession of faith. See, what the psalmist is saying by confession of faith is that the psalmist is confessing with his mouth what he believes in his heart. The psalmist is saying that the help I'm expecting will be forthcoming from God the Creator. Now let me ask you one last question, and I'm going to take my seat. I want to ask you, why did the psalmist choose to describe God as the maker of heaven and earth? Why did he use that description? Y'all ask some good questions. He could have said Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. He could have said Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who fights my battles. Considering his state of mind, he could have said Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. But why did the psalmist describe God as the maker of heaven and earth when he could have said, my help is in El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty? He could have said, my help is in Elohim, the plural for the gods. He simply could have said, my help is in Jehovah, the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yes. But when the psalmist makes this confession of faith, and he's describing God as the maker of heaven and earth, the psalmist is saying that I'm speaking to the power of God. He's saying my help comes with all power, for God has the power to create heaven and earth. God has the power of life and death. God has the power to cast out demons. God has the power to heal the sick. My help comes from the one that has all power. My help comes from the one who cannot fail. My help comes from the one who said, let there be, and there was. For he's got power to make the crooked straight. He's got power to make the rough smooth. He's got power to make your sadness joy. He's got power to make your enemies leave you alone. He's got power to open doors no man can open. Close doors no man can close. He's got power, power, power. Yeah. Yeah. As we stand on our feet. Yeah. My. On this journey called life, we will have trouble. But as believers, we will never find ourselves in a state of helplessness. For all we need to do is simply lift our eyes to the hills, and we will receive help from our God, the Creator and the Maker of heaven and earth, because our God has all power in his hands. So just as Derek Redmond's father came down from the stands, our heavenly Father will come down and be with us on this journey called life. Amen. 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 And corporately, our God will be with the Church of Redeemer on the journey that we're on during this transition. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let the church say amen. 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 As we open up the doors of the church this morning, there may be one among us that may need help on this journey that we call life. And it's something when we're saved and we're on the journey. There's a hymn, we call it Blessed Assurance. Because not only do we have insurance, but we get assurance. And if you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, we ask you to acquire the help that you need. Will you come? Is there one among us? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.